Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 5. Ways in which the deceitfulness of riches seeks to operate. Topic B. Excessive self-evaluation. If we recall human history from its beginnings, we can observe that the first attempt at fascination recorded in the scriptures that visited human beings was the temptation in which the devil extolled a particular richness before them, which, however, was accompanied by a promise of something that this wealth could not grant them indeed, and accompanied by an omission of the damage that adherence to it would cause them, according to part of the narratives presented below. Genesis 2:8-17. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Plus. Genesis 3:1-5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Among the many aspects that we can observe in the texts above regarding the operation of the deceitfulness of riches, we can see that the temptation that it proposes is not directly related to people's lack of resources or regarding a state of oppression over them, for Adam and Eve were surrounded by a vast abundance of riches in the specific place where they lived. In addition, Adam and Eve had an environment of comprehensive peace around them, even among the most diverse animals on the face of the earth. When tempted by the devil's proposal, Adam and Eve enjoyed abundant material provision, an environment filled with everything they needed, and the highest position among all things that the Lord had created on earth. And if God had already placed Adam and Eve over all created things on earth, what else could be so necessary for them that they would accept a fascination or deceitfulness so readily? Nevertheless, the proposal of deceitfulness did not focus on all the abundance and all the gifts that the Lord had made available to Adam and Eve, but insisted on highlighting what was not appropriate for human beings, that is, human beings wanting to elevate themselves and equate themselves with God who created them, proposing that they should do so by obtaining the knowledge of good and evil through disobedience to God. By presenting the proposition of a fascination to Adam and Eve, the devil did not address all the benefits in abundance that they had at their disposition from God, but aimed at the value that Adam and Eve could come to attribute to themselves to try to take them to denigrate the value they attributed to God. Therefore, the deception of riches aims to disorder the values that people attribute to the most diverse aspects of life, but mainly on the value they attribute to themselves and, consequently, to the author of life, namely, God the Creator. And, in turn, if the basic values about the order of magnitude of the creation are corrupted in a person's mind, starting mainly with the person's evaluation of oneself, one is also highly vulnerable to various other deceits or fascinations. Thus, a person's self-assessment of oneself or what one thinks one can become may play a decisive role in opening or closing the door to other deceits. And for this reason, corrupting this self-assessment in people's hearts is a point so desired by the powers of darkness. Given this, how a person views one's position or the position of the creation in relation to God and the rest of the creation is one of the first crucial aspects that need to be adjusted for an individual to view one's scale of values adequately and not find oneself in a state of understanding that is subject in a generic way to the other actions of the deceitfulness of riches. We also remember here that the understanding that the creation has of its position regarding God in the general context of life is discussed more widely in the theme The Gospel of the Creator, and from which we recall the text of Romans that exemplifies how broad the effects of an undue self-assessment that creation may make of itself can be, as follows. Romans 1:18-25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The human being created by God is not and will never be God. However, it is the proposition of wanting to be like God or equated to God that led Adam and Eve to such a strong involvement with deceitfulness. In other words, when the human being self-evaluates and exalts oneself beyond what is suitable, appropriate, or according to God's truth about his creation, one has already been affected by a fascination that makes an individual vulnerable to many other fascinations, for in this way, one starts to advocate that one knows how to be a God and knows how to direct and take care of one's own life. That is, by following this way, the human being starts to see oneself as the God of one's own life and, many times, even of one's fellow men. Thus, the deceitfulness of inappropriate self-assessment of the creation of itself leads people, who allow themselves to be involved in it, to the saddest and most despicable attitudes that a human being may come to practice. Contempt for God and one's neighbors, pride, domination, or oppression over others, and many other vile things, are some of the results of this terrible deceitfulness of inappropriate self-assessment. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 21:24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride. According to the scriptures of God, the way to the proper evaluation of life is the opposite path to the fascination of self-exaltation or excessive self-evaluation. That is, the way for a person to position oneself appropriately in life is widely associated with the path of humility before God and one's fellow men. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Proverbs 16:19. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. 1 Corinthians 4:4. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Psalms 131, 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. And finally on this topic, how, then, can a person protect oneself against this first way of deceitfulness, which in a sense is the fascination that precedes and opens the door to many other deceits or fascinations? In response to this last question, as well as to all the other points mentioned so far in this topic and the other subjects of the systemic teaching about Christian life, we recall that the appropriate option for a person, in everything, to walk safely in the will of God, and not according to misleading propositions, lies in one persevering in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord's instruction about what is most relevant in life, what has only temporary use, and what should be refuted and rejected entirely, as exemplified once again below in several texts of equally immeasurable value. Psalm 75, 4-7. I said to the boastful, "Do not deal boastfully," and to the wicked, "Do not lift up the horn." Do not lift up your horn on high, do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge, he puts down one, and exalts another. Psalms 19:13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Isaiah 55:7-9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 1 Peter 5, 6-7. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Psalms 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my mind and my heart. Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness.